live from New York, New York. It's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I'm your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We've got a great guest for our Career Library Edition, almost to our 90th episode in our library. Thank you guys so much for listening over the past year. Two ways you can engage the show, Zach@ZachBallinger.com. Email me over questions. We are streaming live via YouTube. If you have any questions there, pop them into the comment box. We will make sure to get to them. Without further ado, Dan, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your career as a tattoo artist.
It's a pretty long, rocky road, so I'll try and shorten it. I started out, my parents are super religious, super conservative. I was a punk rocker with a blue mohawk and, you know, spiky leather jacket. I looked like a British punk rock band. And they kicked me out of the house and they moved. So I was homeless for 8 months, like sleeping in the woods, rock as a pillow, you know, dumpster diving, taking showers at McDonald's restrooms. Slowly made it to my first job, Chuck E. Cheese, which I do not recommend to anyone. 2 weeks later, I got a better job and slowly I built myself up. I put myself through community college for art. I had a really awesome teacher. His advice was move to New York and get an art career because, you know, nothing's going to happen in Virginia. So I moved to New York. And now I own a tattoo shop. I publish novels. I do a lot of art for any magazines and bands and apparel companies. So it's worked out.
Well, thanks so much for sharing that. Especially for a personal story of adversity, it's always welcomed on this show. So I think there's a lot of bumps and bruises along the road. Certainly you had a tough one. So why did you decide to be a tattoo artist? How was your passion wrapped around that?
Well, initially, I thought that tattoos were like those old school designs, like basically folk art. And I'd see people like Mike Ness from Social Distortion on MTV. And being a punk rocker, I really liked his band. I was like, I want to look just like that. But I didn't want to do it for a living. I wanted to do more complex artwork for a living. And when I went to art school, I had the idea that I was going to be a comic artist. I was really into being able to illustrate and write my own stories. And then I moved to New York and I interviewed with Image Comics, DC Comics, Marvel Comics. I was kind of disappointed. They don't really let you write your own stuff. In fact, they're extremely controlling. And so then I started looking around at what would let me do what I wanted to do. I interviewed with Penguin Books. Penguin Books pays a lot, but you rarely get a job with them. So they'll pay like $6,000 to $8,000 for a book cover, but you get a job like every year and a half. That's not enough to pay your rent in New York. So I had a friend of my brother's who's a tattoo artist, and he was like, oh, I really love your artwork. I'll teach you how to tattoo. And, I got a few apprenticeship offers when I was younger, but now my eyes were kind of broadened. I saw the work of some people in the tattoo community that were doing like a lot more advanced stuff. And I said, okay, I'm going to go for this. My initial goal was I'll just do this until I get a real career, like, you know, doing artwork or, you know, writing novels or both. And, but I loved it. I loved what I was doing. I now have traveled all over the world, been in like hundreds of books and magazines, and it's really settled in. And what it allows me to do is now I've actually done work for comics and done works for magazines and published my own books. I've done all that stuff. When you're not relying on that to pay your rent, you can do a lot more.
So it's kind of awesome because I talk about doing side jobs or even side gigs or, you know, putting yourself out there into this multi-portfolio career to try to find yourself. And you kind of did it through the tattoo artist route. Now, what are some of the challenges around that job? What should people know before going into it?
Well, it's changed a lot. When I started, it was they had a lot of the old school influence. I remember one of the biggest things you had is you had people that kind of, I mean, it's almost like people that went through a trade union versus people who are skilled but didn't go through the trade union. Like it was just people were just kind of making up reasons why they didn't want you in there because they felt like you were cutting into their work. So you had people, they weren't artists. They couldn't really draw. They had the technical side of tattooing down. They were making crazy money. and they were trying really hard to keep anybody else out. And I remember like one of the first shops they worked at was a flash shop in downtown New York City. And I had a slick portfolio from art school that was like all my paintings and drawings and everything. And my tattoo portfolio wasn't that good yet, but I was like, hey, look, man, I can draw, you know, trust me to do some stuff for you. And everybody at the shop, like all the old school people at the shop are like, oh, well, you think you're an artist? You know, oh, you're just a frustrated painter. But you know what? I'm doing a lot better than they are. So now you have people that they've seen the new wave of tattooing coming out. They're actually going straight from art school into tattooing. Like I remember I talked to Donato Giancoli. He's a really good book artist. He does awesome work. I definitely recommend checking out his website. But I remember I saw some of his there were basically paintings of his in like little booklets, and he sold them on his website. And I called up to order some. It was his house in Brooklyn. And we ended up having this long conversation. He's like, maybe I should be a tattoo artist. So, yeah, it's the thing has evolved a lot. But it used to be really hard to get into, really, it was really misogynistic. It was really oppressive. People would make up all sorts of, they just torture the apprentices. You know, that didn't really happen anymore.
So let's say someone's out there listening and they want to go into this line of work. What kind of certifications, or, you know, you mentioned apprenticeships. What do they need to do to get started?
Well, the best is an apprenticeship. And the reason I say that is not just to be like old school, because that is what all the old school people tell you. But the reason why I say that is because you have somebody that stands over you and corrects all the little stuff you do. Because it's not just like drawing on paper. You're tattooing on skin, and you have all different customers. You have, you know, different types of skin, different age brackets, different machines, different needle set. Like, it's actually very complex on the technical level. So, like, I've seen people who have great art skills, and they'll do a couple tattoos, and they're like, yeah, this is too much for me, and they just go back to doing fine art. So you kind of need the combination of the two.
It's such a great point. Even for other jobs, I always encourage people to do apprenticeships or job shadowing, because it's important to know what you're getting into. You know, like if you want to be a physician, it'd be nice to know how you do about blood, or, you know, stuff, right? So if you want to be a surgeon, it might be a good idea to follow around a surgeon for a day. So how do people get these apprenticeships? Are they pretty competitive, or how do you get,
they were extremely competitive. And you come in, you get turned down. You come in again, you get turned down. And you have people that would like try 10 times before they got an apprenticeship. And then when they get apprenticed, they'd be, you know, mopping the floors and cleaning up for 3 years before they can even start tattooing on skin. That didn't really happen anymore. So if people come in and they have a good book of artwork, then I'll have a conversation with them. I mean, when it used to be, like I said, it was a more convoluted thing. And people would come in and they'd want to be an apprentice. And like, I can draw. I'm like, all right, let me see your art. They're like, oh, wait, I need a book. I'm like, well, of course you need a book. You know, but if you bring in good artwork, I'm definitely willing to give you a chance. And most artists are willing to give you a chance, because right now there's kind of a dearth of good artists who want to tattoo. So if you come in and you have talent, you know, skill, and you have ambition, then we'll try you out often. You know, we're like, oh, yeah, your stuff looks good. You know, come back a little bit later. Maybe we'll give you, like, some stuff to draw. We'll see how it comes back, like some tattoo designs or whatever. But it's a lot more open than it used to be. And you basically need talent. You need to be willing to humble yourself. Like, I mean, that's kind of the way it is with any trade. Like, don't go in there thinking you know everything. Just go in there and say, I want to try.
What do you love about your job?
I've met a whole variety of people. So it's great. You get to see everybody. You get to see, you know, the people who never get it out of the house, the hardcore conservatives, the social butterflies. It expands your vision of the world. And I've traveled all over the world. You know, I've done guest spots and conventions in France and Costa Rica and Peru. And everywhere, all over. And so you get to travel a lot. And the thing is, it really is kind of a community. Like, unfortunately, it's getting less and less like that, but it used to be we do a convention and then like 12 of us would all go to a restaurant and we just, you know, have conversations about how the convention went and, you know, stuff like that. So I like the sense of community. I like the freedom to do what you want. It's like, it's more trusting. Like when I interviewed with DC Comics, what you have to do is, first of all, they want to sell it. Then the store, you're not allowed to write and draw it. You're either allowed to write or draw. So if you draw, then the writer tells you what to draw. So you draw it, you send it to him, then I'll change it a few times. Then he sends it to the company, and then they might make revisions. And that didn't happen with tattooing. You know, people are a lot more trusting, and it's kind of like your vision and their vision mix, and that's it.
I'm sure I've got some people in the audience that think this career is really cool, you know, and they have tattoos themselves. I think tattoos are on their way. Seems like everybody has a tattoo anymore, so the demand of them are going much, much higher. But there's always difficulties at every job. And I think it's important for you to talk about that. You know, what makes your job tough? What's some of the challenges behind it?
I would say one of the best parts and one of the worst parts are the customers. So you get some people that will come in and they'll be insane. You know, I remember there's one guy tattooed, he's an ex-Marine, giant fucking guy. And he came in and, He wanted a pit bull tattooed on his chest. I said, okay, no problem. So I was drawing it up. He took off. He got a bottle of vodka. When he came back, he had like this much vodka left in the bottle. I was like debating whether to tattoo him or not. But Cheryl was the shop manager at the place I worked at the time. And she said, just, you know, Dan, just get it out of the way. So I was doing it. And while I was tattooing it, he goes, woof, 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 woof. I was like, he's like, oh, you got to get into it. When you get a tattoo, you got to get into it. I was like, all right. So I just keep tattooing him. And then after a little while, he's like, you know what happens if you fuck up this tattoo? I was like, what? He goes, I'll fuck you up. I was like, all right, tattoo's over. Get out. And then they go, oh, no. And then the shop manager, he's like getting more drunk as time goes by. He starts hitting on her. And she has a lot of police officer friends. So she calls him over just to hang out with her, and one's in the shop, and, you know, comes in the shop, and the guy I'm tattooing is like, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm visiting Cheryl. He's like, get out of here! And the police officer's like, don't tell me what to do, and he whips out a baton, and like, he's like, sit down. it can be the best thing, it can be the worst thing with the customers.
Gotcha. You definitely have to. I could see that going wrong real quick. So thanks for sharing that. What did you dream about being when you were a kid? So we all kind of had this maybe fantasy or dream that we wanted to be maybe when you were in fourth, fifth, sixth grade. Was there a career you always dreamed of doing?
Well, when I was a little kid, here's the strange thing. My dad's super into sci-fi and military. He's really conservative, but I saw like all the Star Wars movies and the theaters and stuff. And so I really wanted to be an astronaut. But then after a little while, I realized, wait a minute, an astronaut just goes up and comes down. It's not like they really do much. So I was like, oh, I'll be an astronomer. Then I was like, wait a minute, astronomers just look at stars all day. They don't really do much. And I started drawing. My dad actually draws a lot. So I started drawing and we didn't even have a TV, so I'd like go to the library and check out this huge stack of books and have them all read within a week. So I was an avid reader. So I was like, what I really want to do is be an artist. No, maybe I want to be a writer. No, maybe I want to do both. And then I found comics. So I was like, oh, I can do both. Like with this whole new wave of really good writers who were coming in, like Alan Moore, who wrote Watchmen, and Frank Miller, who wrote The Dark Knight, both of which, you know, movies were based off of. I was like, I can do both. So that kind of sold me. So I'd be like 14 at my house with an art table. I talked my parents into buying me, like working on storyboards and bringing them to local indie artists. And, you know, I'm sure my work is garbage if you look at it now. But back then, they were really encouraging. They're really nice. And that kind of set me off on that path. So from 14 on, that's what I wanted to do.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for walking us through that. Now, where can people find you? So I noticed that you said some books that you had. Maybe you could walk us through them. How do people get connected with you on social media or your websites?
I have a website, danhank.com. I have a YouTube channel, it's Dan Hank as well. It's D-A-N-H-E-N-K. But I tend to post everything there. I post everything on social media. I mean, when you're an artist, you kind of have to just to get your name out there, get your work out there. And it's worked out pretty well for me.
Gotcha. And then do you have books that you said you mentioned? Anywhere they can go to get those?
Yeah, they're all available on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles. At least one is on Audible. It's called The End of the World. I kind of took this off comics. They all like kind of run the same continuity. So, you know, I wouldn't say they're necessarily a trilogy, but they all relate.
Gotcha. So guys, we'll put those into the comment box for you guys to, if you want to link in with Dan. He said YouTube was the best way. So get on there, subscribe to his YouTube. Dan, we did have some questions that come in. So not sure how much they're career related, but you can tell some people are passionate about this type of work. So it says, do you have to book an appointment out to have a tattoo done at your shop?
At my shop, yes. We have actually 8 people working there now. And some of the people, they could get you in within like a day. Some of the people, they have like a wait list of almost a year. So it really depends on what you want. The thing a lot of people that aren't familiar with tattoos don't know is that you should really look at what style the artist does. Because if you want Japanese, there are people that specialize in that. So don't just go. Often you'll have people that are like, oh, I can do anything. Yeah, I wouldn't trust that. You know, it's like your neighbor saying, oh, I can fix your car. You know, so see who specializes in what and look at the online portfolio of what they have. Like we have a website and it's The Abyss. That's my shop, The Abyss. There's a link to it off my website as well. And just look at their portfolio and see what they do and then book it accordingly.
The next question says, do you draw all your images for your customers' tattoos or do they often sometimes bring you their own?
They can bring their own, but what I tell them is I'm going to redraw it a little bit. Like everything I tried to do, I tried to make unique. You know, they're and often people will say, oh, I really like this tattoo. Can you do it? I'm like, well, I can do something similar to that, but I'm not going to copy someone else's tattoo. That's disrespectful.
Gotcha. And so, you know, I did lie to you. There's a question that I wanted to bring up to you when you began your biography at the beginning of the show. You're in this arts career, and I think this is where a lot of my students struggle sometimes, you know, when you're talking about either being an actor or some type of career in the arts field, your parents are against it. And I hear that all the time when I go down to high schools or colleges. They're like, Zach, I want to do this. I want to try to be an actor. I want to try to be a country music singer. I want to try to do this. But, you know, the parents want the traditional educational 4-year college route, which you can kind of understand that perspective. How do you talk to your parents? Do you have any advice for or talk to that adolescent that I might be talking to, that 18 or 19 year old that I go to a campus and they're like, you know, this is kind of the career field I want to go in, but I don't have a lot of support from my family behind it.
I don't know that I can tell you what to tell to other people. I can just tell you, you've got to have faith in yourself and you've got to have ambition. Like I remember my guidance counselor in high school and I got high enough SAT scores to get into Harvard. I had almost straight A's, but I looked super punk rock. I had a blue mohawk, you know, and I remember I asked her, you know, what I could do about getting a grant for a loan. Cause my dad said being an artist isn't a real career. So you wouldn't co-sign a loan. So I was asking her, she said, get ready for a career of pumping gas. Cause that's all you're ever going to do. Like, okay. She's definitely not going to help me. So you can't give up. I went to community college for art. You know, I was like, I want to be an illustrator. I went to illustrator meetings, you know, I went online and I found other artists and I like send them emails or contact them on Facebook. The thing is most artists are really open to helping you out. And like, It's not like the old days where everybody, you know, wants to keep little secrets close to their heart. People are a lot more open these days. I've even seen tattoo artists that were like, they thought they were rock stars back in the day and they would barely talk to you, but now they're super nice.
Well, this has not only been great for our career library, I think it's been super motivational. I think, guys, if you're out there listening, you guys can overcome anything and you can be anything you want. And Dan's a perfect example of that. Dan, thank you so much for giving back your time. Obviously, you're very busy. You know, you've got a lot of different careers going on and plus own your own studio. Thanks for coming on and sharing your career journey.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, guys, follow Dan. Thank you guys so much. Until then, this is the Zach Ballinger Show.